Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends, as this video is brought to you by DrRoto.com.
Good morning, my friends. It is I, Johnny Danger. With me, as always, Mr. Adam White. We are here on behalf of DrRoto.com. This is In the Cup on this glorious Michigan morning. It is beautiful outside, Adam. I can't believe you're here and not golfing, sir.
Oh, don't. It won't be long after we finish this pod. I'll be out there. But yeah, 75 to 80 today. It's going to be a beauty. The birds are chirping in my neighborhood. You might be able to hear them.
Yeah.
The engines are revving. Beautiful sign and that the spring has sprung and people are out with their nice fancy cars. What more could you ask for, man?
Not a whole lot more.
And since
I will tell you, last week, 4 of 6 Kims made the cut, sir. 4 of 6. Sadly, including, I played 2 of them who missed the cut.
Including Chris Kim, the amateur, who's
right.
Like 16 years old and actually went out and played incredibly well. I texted you on Saturday. He was like top 15.
Yes, sir.
At one point during his round.
Yes, sir. I won our league last week. It was a beautiful thing, even with 2 miscut players. I almost dominated, but Michael Kim comes out on Friday. He shoots 5 under in the first 11 holes on Friday. Then goes bogey, bogey, double bogey on 14, 15, 16 to miss the cut.
Ugh, that's brutal. That sounds like Justin Thomas at the Masters.
Right. It was entertaining week. But Benny Ann and Adam Schenck took me over the edge. So I finally win one in week 6 of our little league that we put together. So
I think that gives this show a two-week winning streak.
That's right. That's correct. You won the week before, and I won this week. We're back on top, sir. We're back on top.
Right where we belong, buddy.
Right where we belong. Well, we have another week in the PGA. We are heading over to the Wells Fargo Championship. Do you bank with Wells Fargo, sir?
I do not.
I don't either. I just want to make sure for the viewers that we're unbiased in today's show about the Wells Fargo.
I use the giant. Never mind. I'm not.
Yeah, we are not sponsored by Wells Fargo. Let's get that out of the way. I think
absolutely
it's a given most of the time, but that's fine. All right, buddy. Break down this course for us.
Yeah, if it was like the Wells Fargo Byron Nelson, I would just call it the Byron Nelson because I don't like to. I mean, kudos to the sponsors for helping out the PGA Tour and the players, but yeah. Anywho, we are at the Quail Hollow Golf Club now. This is a difficult course. It has hosted a major before, site of Justin Thomas's first major championship victory. It is located in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a par 71 in the mid 7500s, about 7550, depending on the tee boxes and the pins. It plays pretty difficult. So the last 3 times it's been here, last year it was the 14th most difficult on tour, 5th most difficult in 21, and 8th most difficult in 2019. We're expecting the winning score somewhere in the 15 under range, but you're not going to have a whole lot of guys that are up above 10 under, in my opinion. So I think it's gonna make for a pretty interesting week. It's a no cut event. We've only got 69 players. Note that Ludvig Åberg dropped out. Unfortunately, I watched him on an interview with SVP, and the next morning I saw he had withdrawn. Very sad because I think this course would have set up pretty well for him. So hopefully he recovers quickly from his knee injury and gets back out there. But we've got 7 holes with water hazards. The greens tend to be more difficult. So if you start looking at some of the stats, 3-putt percentage is higher. Greens and regulation percentage is about 4% lower than most weeks. Scrambling percentage lower. Fairways and regulations lower. Like everything makes this course more difficult than most. It definitely caters to a much more overall game. It's not going to cater to your bomb and gougers. Like certain courses may, like a lot of courses on tour do. So it's much more of a true test. And I think it's a great warm-up for the PGA Championship held next week. It's going to test all aspects of players' games. And I think we've got our model refined. So we've got some pretty solid plays to look at this week. I think that about sums it up. The par fives are pretty reachable. So 2 of them are in the 550 to 580 range, which these days is very reachable for the tour. So I'm also looking at guys that can really capitalize on those more reachable and gettable par fives, because a lot of the par fours are in the high 400s into the 500s. So it's going to leave a lot of approaches. Once again, in that 175 plus range. So we want good mid to longer iron players who have good short games and can put some birdies together. So let's get into it, buddy.
I dig it. For those following along, Adam really enjoys the datagolf.com for his models. I myself thoroughly enjoy paydirtdfs.com for their simulated models. And of course, we have the experts. We have our picks. We have Adam's fabulous article over behind the paywall at drroto.com. So make sure you go check all of those sources out. That's how we do. All right, let's get at this, sir. We have three individual golfers above the 10K range this week. We've got Rory, we've got Xander, we've got Wyndham Clark. The two guys, Rory and Xander, at the very top in the simulated scoring are about 10 to 15% higher projected scoring than the next closest in the field, being Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay. Do you care? Are they too owned at 25 to 30% for you, for those guys? I tend to play Xander when I see Xander, honestly.
Yeah, I actually like those guys a lot more than I do anyone in the 9K range. There's a couple you could make arguments for, but I'm pretty much staying with those guys up top because they do provide you with such a high floor. And at this course, you know, Xander finished second here last year. Rory's won here before. It's a course that sets up very well for him. So those guys are tough for me to get away from. Rory's actually showing as one of the best, like the best value above 9,000. So I think Rory's going to come out swinging this week. I think he's finding his form a little bit. We didn't have strokes gained data for the team event that he and Shane Lowry won. But yeah, Rory to me is a slight edge over Xander, but I can't fault you for going either way. I'm not worried about the ownership. We can differentiate a little bit lower down.
Oh, yeah. My personal simulated models just love that like 8K flat and below range. So there's going to be lots of value, guys, to discuss today. But yeah, I mean, I can play either one of them. I'm not too worried about the ownership as well. I think Xander comes out probably at the higher owned of the two. So if you want a slight ownership fade for, you know, the two most possible players to, you know, DK score over 100 points, right? You know, that's the guys. I have no real interest in Wyndham Clark. And getting down into the 9K range, you know, my model wants me to play Tommy Fleetwood, but I just... Every time I've pulled the trigger, he has disappointed me. So I don't know if I can do that. You know, I play with my heart on my sleeve when we make these contests, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I would be interested in Wyndham if his ownership looked to be a little bit lower. But if he's right there with Rory and Xander, I don't really like it that much. But I hear you. There's a guy just like that here. I put a lot of emotion into him at the Masters, and he sort of burned me. Did not give me what I was needing out of him to cash, and that is Mr. Sahith Theegala. I also think his driver's a little too erratic to play this course well. That opinion could burn me, but I'm expecting him to sort of be middle of the pack here this week. Anybody else in the 9K range that stands out for you, or are you just dipping straight down?
I mean, not really. You know, Colin Morikawa always is interesting. He's a big DK scoring player. And I like that, but not really. My fade in this area is Victor Hovland. Ownership has him lowest of anyone 9K and above, and I think with good reason. He just doesn't pop in any way, shape, or form in either of these models that I've run. And I've got several guys in the 8K range ranked above him. So I think I'm going to fade that 9K range. I'm going to pick either Rory or Xander and then move along.
To me, it's just about roster construction. Right now, if I'm looking at Rory or Xander, I can't really fit Homa, and Homa's very... you know, projected to be very highly owned anyhow. Fleetwood, I do like as a play. I may get on him if I can find some more scrubs down below, but not really interested in Cantlay. Like you said, Hovland's kind of just broken. He's been going through a lot of tinkering and swing changes. Morikawa just doesn't really do it from the 175 plus range. I think he's going to struggle to make those birdies you were mentioning this week because it's not catering to his phenomenal short game and short iron and wedge game. And these par fives could be more difficult for him to reach into. He's not a long hitter, so... That kind of ruled him out for me because I think you want guys who can make, I should say, like effortless birdies where they're going to hit it 20, 30 yards further than most guys and then flip a wedge up there, or they're going to hit these par fives and two. So I think for those reasons, this range is almost a full fade for me on five of the guys. And then Fleetwood's kind of like, we'll see if we come around to it. But there's so many guys I like a little bit in the 8K range and especially in the 7K range that are really showing some good promise this week. you know, roster construction is kind of leading us there. So 9K range, not super interested.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. So moving down into the 8K range, you know, when we start getting into the eights and sevens, one of the things I really like to look at is percentage chance of, you know, 10 times, 11 times, 12 times the salary. You know, this is the range where those stats really kind of start popping out. And without Scotty in the range, you know, popping off even at like 12K at the highest to get a 10X range, it's nice to go down here. A name that I just was reminded last week when we were chit-chatting of the great call of Tony Finau winning when I was on here with you and Coach White. You know, it's been a while since I've been on him, but man, I've run three different models and two different simulations, and Tony Finau, man, consistently pops as a top 1 or 2% chance to 10X to 12X his salary. And I think I could get back on Tony, man. I know we're skipping all the way down to the 8,000 flat in the 8,000 range, but he's the guy that pops for me. And besides him, it's JT and Hideki. And those are really the only three that pop in my simulations in the 8K range.
Mm-hmm. Are you calling yourself the Finau Whisperer, and are you calling another victory here?
What? Yeah, I don't know about victory. I don't know if he's had that victory form recently. But, you know, you have a guy who has spent time in, you know, the top 10 to top 12 ranked players in the world at 8K, you know, at a solid point or lower in projected ownership than most of the people above him. It's all kind of lining up for a Tony week for me.
I know we talk about putting a lot and how putting is it's variable week to week. And yeah, that is true. But just watching Tony putt this year, I can't personally do it, man. It's so bad. Like, somehow, you know, the putter head like tilts this way if the ground is here, and you're like, why is the toe so far up in the air? And last year it was like, all right, it's getting a little better. It's worse this year. He's like healing his putts, which causes it to start offline and create side spin. And he just looks pretty lost on the greens. And this is a more difficult putting course. These greens are very difficult. So inside that 5-foot range, I would be shaking watching him try and knock it a 5-footer.
Yeah, but you know what? We have won some really primo bets in a couple of contests because we took a swing on somebody who had everything the course needed except for a hot putter.
And oh, no doubt.
Hot for a week, they could do it. And Tony's that guy for me this week. Also, interesting enough, in the 8K range, another guy who we have really liked this year, especially in a no-cut event, another guy who loves the DK scoring stat when you start, sorting by DK scoring, super high in the pay dirt leverage scoring, very low owned at under 10%, owned at 8,400, Jordan Spieth. He speaks to me.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything. He's not speaking to me. I no. He's got to show me something, bro. Like, that performance last week at the Byron Nelson, I know it's a birdie fest, you got to keep up, but he started off hot and then just completely fizzled. His putting has also been a mess. His approach game was atrocious last week. No, man. I mean, when he goes to, he usually plays RBC very well. He obviously plays the Masters very well. His strokes gain numbers coming into the year were like top two in the entire field for the last five seasons at the Masters. And he misses the cut. Then he goes to the RBC, rested, pissed off, ready to go out and show the world he's not slumping like it looks like he is. And he doesn't even finish top 30. I mean, barely finished top 40. So, now all signs are pointing to Jordan being a fade for me. He's low owned for a reason. I do, and maybe I'm falling into the trap again, but I absolutely love Hideki this week. Now, you can say the same things about his putter that I just said about Finau's.
Sure.
There have been some signs that he is trending in the right direction with the putter. He has gained strokes in at least half of his events this year. And if he's just average with the putter or a little better, and he has a good Hideki week, not even a great Hideki week, tee to green, 8,900 is a great value for him. So I do love him.
But what I love about Hideki is you really like, you know he's going to score. You know, will he finish in the top five? I don't know, but he's pretty much kind of a lock for a top 10 to top 15 in these kind of fields. So I have him in the placeholder lineup that I put when we make the contest in our league, just in case, you know, I forget Thursday morning that a 6 a.m. lock time, is available.
Yeah, I think I think he's a very, very solid play. I also like, I don't mind Matty Fitz here. I just don't think it's a great course fit for him. Like JT has shown some form, but he's the reason that I won at RBC. So JT's got a special place here. And I think he's got what it takes to jump up. It's just he's looking like the highest owned player. And I think people are trying to really get on him before he shows consistent form. But this course can really expose you if you have some weaknesses in your game. And I'm not so sure he's quite there with the all-around game that you need here. The guy who I told you before the show was really popping in the model that I put together was Alex Noren. He was showing number one in that particular model. Now, I'm not a slave to the model like yourself. I'm not beholden to that. But when you start seeing the indicators there, I was kind of hoping he would be more highly owned so that I could fade him and look smarter. But he's actually looking somewhat low on almost pulling me in here. What do you think about Alex Noren? Can he keep his hot form going?
I mean, look, you know I'm a slave to the model. That's why we do so well here, because I spit out what the model says and then you try to put the reality spin on it. He's totally mid, man. Totally mid in the model. He doesn't stick out in my personal model. He has nothing that I look for that's higher than anybody else in his range. He has been playing good golf. I give you that. I don't know. I mean, I'm only interested because you just brought him up. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not really interested, so I will be fading him. I'm hoping his ownership creeps up so that fade gives me a little more leverage. But
sure.
But yeah, it's the 175 and over approach shots. He's been decent off the tee. It's not usually his strength, but that's been an improved part of his game this year relative to previous. He's got a very good short game, and his putter is pretty consistently good. So that's why the model had me on him. Now, I want to make a call here, Danger.
Okay.
Ricky Fowler got his first PGA Tour victory here.
Okay.
JT got his first major here. And last year, Wyndham Clark, this is what set off his, I don't even want to call it a run. This is what really catapulted him into the upper echelon of players on tour, later winning the U.S. Open. But I'm going to say Cameron Young gets off the schneid this week and wins the Wells Fargo.
Interesting. Interesting.
Now, he's like Finau Light. He's a great ball striker. He bombs it off the tee. And if he can just get his putter to be somewhat cooperative, he hits a lot of approach shots very close. Short game leaves a little bit to be desired this week, but I'm banking on him. I'm banking on him getting the approach game hot and actually capitalizing with some made putts. So
all right, I don't hate it, man. I've got him as my number eight scoring player on the week at 88. I had to look him up when you said something because he didn't pop in one of the other ones. But now I'm looking at him. Let's see where he lands in the 10x range. He lands in he's in the bottom of the top third of the 10x, chance, which isn't fabulous. But if he's top 10 in scoring in the 8K range, all right, you've piqued my interest.
Yeah, I think this could very well be the week where he breaks through. He's not going to have a lot of attention. He didn't play well at RBC. Not a course that favors him very much, but a top 10 at the Masters, a second at the Valspar. He's sort of knocking on the door and right there. And, you know, he's too good. He's too talented and has knocked on the door too many times not to get a victory eventually. So I think he's going to contend this week, if not win. And then next week, everyone's going to be on him and he will disappoint at the PGA.
I dig it. I mean, I still have him over 15% owned, which is probably why he doesn't pop too high. And because I run, you know, the points scored and I run that through ownership and kind of make a little model based on point scoring for how much he costs and then kind of divide by ownership, if that makes sense. That's not exactly how it works, but that's, you know, how I run it. But I do like him. I do like him. He's right there with Tony for me. So, you know, maybe I get a little Young and Tony in that 8K range. And I told you before the show, there's some guys popping in the 6K range. So I think we can make, you know, we could make a Xander or Rory with two guys in the 8K and still feel good.
Yeah. So get Young Tone in there. Sounds like an up and coming rapper.
Young Tone. No, I dig it. All right, let's get in the 7K range. The two guys outscoring their salary the most in my particular simulations are alive in this round right here, and it's Will Z and Mr. Bhatia. What do you think of those two guys?
Yeah, Mr. Bhatia also pops in my model, and I'm still sort of deliberating on that one. I'm probably not going to play him just due to the lack of experience at Wells Fargo and lack of reps in big events with very strong fields on difficult courses. Like, that's something I'm looking for this week, is guys who have shown they can come through on difficult courses, because it asks a lot different questions of your game, if that makes sense. Like, you have to be more precise with your approaches. You've got to be more calculated with when you hit it in the rough, like, take that double bogey out of play. You've got to be able to really grind it out, get up and down, because you're going to have some stretches of 3-4 holes where it seems like you're struggling to make a par every hole. Mm-hmm. So Akshay, I'm not sold on that. I haven't seen it before. Not to say that it can't happen, but
I have to say, you know, that every time I've gone against my model, I've had my worst outputs, right? Bhatia is like number one in 10, 11, and 12x percentage chance, and number one in top five versus salary in my simulation. Number one. I can't ignore it. I've got to play it. If I'm a slave to my model, I have to run it. And the guy that pops the absolute most on the model has got to be in my lineup. So Bhatia is there, regardless of what you just said to me, sir. He's in. He's in.
I hear what you're saying. I'm digging a little deeper, too. He did finish T13 at the Farmers. That's pretty impressive. He is a California kid. Yeah, I may come around to it. I may come around to it. But at any rate.
He's on my sheet. Well, you know, I put the names on my sheet. I put a dash next to the guys that you like. I circled the guys that I like and you like together. Mm-hmm. And I star the guys that I'm planting a flag on. And all four of those things just happened with Bhatia. He's in.
He's planting. You're planting a flag.
He's in.
The Bhatia seed is a plant. All right.
Right.
Zalatoris, though, all in. Like, Willie Z, game has shown some trends that it's coming back to his old form before the back injury and kind of revamping his swing. Played very well at Bay Hill, and this is the kind of course that he thrives on. You know, the more difficult it is, the better he usually plays, because he emphatically answers those questions we were talking about that this course will ask of you, which is, you know, play these long, difficult par fours well, hit your long irons well with precision, and capitalize on some birdie opportunities. So Will Z, I like a lot. The other guy that's showing very well in my model and is not crazy high owned is back to the old Coco. Any love for Coco this week, the Canadian stud?
Let me take a look here. I've got him pretty good. Pretty good. He ranks top 10 in the 10X value. Leverage play, not so much. He's all right. He's all right. I think I like Bhatia more. Coco's okay. He's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling too. The short game isn't there for me. Like, he's going to miss some greens. The short game's just not there to pop him into my lineups. So I only play a few, as we've discussed. But the next guy you mentioned, he has no top 40s in the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. He's missed two cuts, including at a major at the Masters. T44, cut, T45. That's his last four finishes going in reverse. Most recent to furthest back. And you say he is the highest leverage tour on the entire slate. He's also got a great mustache and some cool hair.
I shaved the mustache off this week. I'm sorry.
You did. If you're going to play Burns, you got to have the mustache. But tell me about Mr. Sammy Burns.
Well, I told you, man. I usually run things to heavily favor ownership, right? Because I like to take some chalky guys. That's how I play DFS. I take some chalk at the top. And then I like to find some people at the bottom. I got Sam Burns at under 7% owned right now. And I think that's probably why my leverage model pops him up, right? Because the leverage takes a huge amount of account into ownership plays. And I've got him in the top 25 scoring, and the only guy on the entire list in the top 25 that's not going to be 9 or 10% or over owned. And that usually means the leverage score is going to pop.
Understood. Yeah, I have no interest, but I can see why you would say that. I don't know what happened to his form, man. Like, he was playing decent to start the year. Tops, it finished T6, T10, T3, T10 in succession, four straight weeks up to the Genesis, and then he's just fallen off a cliff. Like, he just lost it and hasn't gotten it back. So I hope he does at some point. He's a fun guy to watch, but not for me this week. Top of the 7Ks we're looking at too. Like, Adam Scott's a little too owned for me. J Day, Sung J, no thank you. Shane Lowry, kind of lukewarm on him. The one guy I'm looking at who's very projected, very low owned, like lowest in the range right there with Pendrith, who just won last week. That is Christian Bezuidenhout. Now, he's not a great approach player, but he's got a phenomenal short game. He gains strokes putting like every week. He's pretty solid off the tee. He's good around the greens, like we mentioned. He finished T3 at his most recent event in Japan, DP World Tour. T9, T13, T25, T28, 4 weeks before that. I don't know. As a leverage play at 7,600, I'm pretty interested in Bezuidenhout.
I'm going to poo-poo Christian, and I'm going to move that leverage for me to Sepp Straka.
Oh, thought you might go. You're like another big fella, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the short game's not doing it for me. He's going to miss some greens. Now, granted, he's a guy who can get hot with his irons and create a lot of opportunities, but to me, even though he's been hot recently, I don't think he's got the short game to contend here or give you what you need out of him in the mid to low 7Ks with the short game as bad as it is. He's been pretty good off the tee, been pretty good into the greens, but I think this is the week where Sepp disappoints you.
Fair enough. I don't really like a whole lot in the 7K range besides the couple of people that I highlighted. I'm really interested to dig into the 6K. So can we dig into the 6K?
Can I mention a couple of guys first at the bottom?
Okay, sure.
Adam Shank and Chris Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Both, I think, at their
Shank helped me win that tournament last week, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Shank might be – he didn't play the team event, so he's good there. But T13 last week made a lot of birdies. Tee to green game was very good. Like, he's normally got a good short game, and he's a very solid putter. Last week, his short game wasn't as good. His putting wasn't as good. So his tee to green game has been fantastic. And if his putting normalizes, I think he's a great play this week at 7,100. And Chris Kirk, he impressed the hell out of me, even though I've always liked him, at least since he got sober, as a player. He showed me a lot at the Masters, finishing top 20, came back with a T10 at RBC. A little bit of rest for his old bones. I think he's right there at 7,100. He's played pretty well here in the past. So I think those two guys have to be mentioned before we transition to the 6Ks.
Fair enough. All right, well, getting into the 6K range, a name that we talk about almost weekly when he's around, one of the top poppers in my simulations, Lucas Glover at 6,700.
One of the top poppers, you say?
Top poppers. Talk to me about Lucas Glover. We are on him a lot. We like him frequently. And then his mate, $100 cheaper, Austin Eckroat, pops right up in the model. Matthew Pavon does, but the leverage score hates him. Like his scoring, don't like his leverage. Uh-oh, did I lose you? Oh, there you go. You're back. Oh, I lost him again. Anyway, so in the 6K range, the models are liking Taylor Moore. They're liking Lucas Glover. They're liking Austin Eckroat, Matthew Pavon. There's a lot of love for these 6K guys popping up in here. And I'm kind of into it. I'm kind of into those guys. I'm probably off of Jake Knapp. I was just running down the list that my model likes, sir. And it was Moore, Glover, Eckroat, Pavon, Knapp, and Eric Cole. Those are the ones that pop the most in the 6K range for me. Jake Knapp's fully disappointing Sunday. I don't know. He's been good. But, man, I was getting my butt kicked in our tournament, Adam, until Jake Knapp put up an entire day of pars.
Yeah, which was shocking. He usually makes a lot of birdies, and he just didn't. It was very lukewarm that day. But did you call Austin Eckroat Glover's mate? Did I catch that right?
A pricing mate. Pricing mate, 100 below.
Pricing mate. Okay. All right.
I haven't had enough coffee yet, Adam. We usually do this at like 11 or noon. You got me out here at like 9:45. It's too early for me, sir.
No, I just thought there was like a friendship I didn't know about. It would have been cool. You asked me about Glover though. Yeah, this is like the region where he's comfortable. He's from South Carolina, very comfortable on these grasses, which is important. He's typically not a great putter, but more comfortable on these greens than he would be on most. So if you're looking to go stars and scrubs, I absolutely endorse Lucas Glover as a good value play down below. I also like Kurt Kitayama here. Okay. He's starting to show some good signs now. Does he have a great short game? No, he doesn't. Is he a great putter? No, not necessarily, but he's elite off the tee and on approach. So if that's the case, I'll take a guy who's top 20 in those two categories, top 15 in this field, and just hope that his putter sort of is lukewarm or a little better than average for him. So if that's the case, he's an awesome value at 6,800. He can play these big golf courses very well because he is a longer hitter. You had mentioned Taylor Moore as well. He's another guy who popped in my personal model, and I like him very much at 6,700. Ekrot as well. Ekrot scares me off the tee a little bit. I'm a little concerned with that, and he's not great around the greens. He's also not a great putter, so I know we're being picky with a guy in the 6K range.
Also, man, of note, which really highly impacts my own model, my neighbor's name is Taylor Moore. I don't know if that affects your model, but
it will not factor in. Did I meet him or did I meet his wife?
Oh, well, they're both named Taylor.
Your neighbors are named Taylor?
Yes, Taylor and Taylor. Yes, it's true.
They're married, or these?
He is an MMA champion. Did you know that? Yeah.
Well, that's terrifying. I mean, good to have him on your side, right? You guys.
That's right. Fun. That's my boy. Anyways, those are the guys that pop here. Eric Cole is popping up again, which kind of scares me.
I'm not quite. I mean, he's so cheap this week that it's cheap. Almost enticing. Now, looking at Pavan. Another guy who really impressed me at the Masters, that the conditions being as difficult as they were, for him to finish T12 and earn his exemption in the next year, I mean, I don't personally think he belongs down here at 6,500, even at a course he hasn't played competitively before. It's still just not, I don't know, he's just too cheap. So I think he's a good value there for you at 6,500. Eric Cole, I'm not on. There's one guy that I'm... If I was to make a tipsy pick this week, Danger, this would probably be it. And I don't think it's all that tipsy. He's shown some good form, had a rough finish in his last event, but he finished T18 here last year. He finished T13 here back in 2019, and that is Mr. Seamus Power. One of the great names out there. He's been really trending off and on, I would say. His ball striking has been a little inconsistent. But when it's good, he has capitalized. So T12 at the Heritage, T26 at Valspar, T21 at API, another difficult golf course. Approach game trends, like putting's been up and down, but Seamus Power is a guy at 6,200 I could get on.
How about right at 6,300, somebody who just has been making cuts? There's no cut this week, of course, but somebody who does well in DK scoring, generally speaking, Emiliano Grillo. At 63.
Yeah, Griot's been a show favorite for many, many years.
Yep.
But I am not on him this week. His short game is not very good. His putting can be very bulky. Not the type of tournament I'm looking to have him. He kind of tends to soil his pants.
Could I play Taylor Moore, then play Nick Taylor, and then figure out who plays tailor-made golf clubs and put together that lineup?
Okay, Rory up top. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could walk you through the TaylorMade Golf Club players. I know we're a little over right now, so maybe not. But Rory, Tommy, you could go there.
Yep.
Let's see. Anybody in the 8K range? Not really. We'll come back to it. But,
we'll talk about that off show. I'll tweet it out. All right. Let's tweet out the all Taylor Golf Club team. All right, I got nothing else down here, man. I kind of named the guys that I like. We'll just stop right there.
I think that's it. Let's pop over to our pick a guy in each price range.
While I look at that real quick, did you look at any bets this week, sir?
Yeah, I'm actually looking right now. So I put one together. There are some top 40s and top 20s that I like. Let me just go to my wagers, because I may have already put one in this week.
Hold on, I just reran my thing real quick, and Nick Taylor actually pops pretty well. Is that?
Get out of here!
Come on, I'm telling you, he does.
Why?
I don't know. He just does. Because he's going to be completely unowned. That's why he pops in the leverage score.
Oh yeah, yeah, that could lure you in though. Like if you got guys that are just low owned because they stink and they're not. they're not playing well, then yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
All right. Seamus Power is the guy then. We'll just do that. How's that?
Sure. I don't know what you're doing. Are you just like the last guy in your lineup?
Or yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. All right, let's start off at the top. Let's just go ahead and remove Xander and Rory from consideration at the top. So if you're not playing Xander or Rory, or even if you are, who is the next guy down the list that you're going to plant that high salary flag on, my friend?
Are we saying high salary is over 9K?
If anybody. If it's not anybody, then just say Rory. That's fine, too.
You know what? I'm going to have to go Rory this week. Yeah. I think, there's nobody else. We talk about the 9Ks. Wyndham's too highly owned. Like if Rory's going to be right there with Xander and Wyndham, as far as, ownership goes, then yeah, I'm give me Rory all day and we'll skip down to the 8K range.
I dig it. I'm going to take the same path, but I'm going to go Xander, my friend. So we will split that up. I'm gonna go ahead and take Tony Finau. You know what? I've been singing it's Tony week, all morning. So I'm going to go Tony in my mid range. How about you, sir?
Yeah. So we talked a lot about, I'm planting the flag this week. It's not a model play. It's a gut play. It's from following the trends here. And I'm going to go ahead and just plant it on Cameron Young.
I like it. I like the Young play. I like Young play. You know, in that 7K range, I already said it. I can't go back on it. It's all about Akshay Bhatia.
Yeah, I can't hate you for that. You know, with his game, he's got the game for it. It's just, does he have the mental side of it to stay up towards the top four straight days? But man, he's a hell of a he's a hell of a player. Makes a lot of birdies and bunches. Great approach player. It's fun to watch him play. He's like string being skinny, but he absolutely pounds the ball. Yeah, my dude in the 7K range doesn't belong in the 7K range. So I'm going to take advantage of this while I can, because I think he even may be more expensive next week, despite a bigger field and a better field. But I'm going to go with Willie Z. 7,900, plays tough courses very well. Game is starting to trend back to where it was pre-injury. Yeah, give me him all day long.
I like it. Will has been locked in my lineup for the last 2 days, so I ain't mad at it. I'm going with my neighbor. My neighbor in my tipsy pick is going to top 15 this week in Taylor Moore, my friend, at 6,700.
All right. I like it, man. I'm going for upside down here. Now, this dude might finish 50th or worse, but there's a decent chance he finishes top 10. I'm going to go with Mr. Kurt Kitayama.
All right, I've got them all down, man, and that is it for us this week. Sorry we went a little long, but we will be back for, what is it, the players or something next week? I don't know, something important.
You want a few bets?
So, oh, you got my bets for me. Hit me.
Yeah, Xander, top 10 is at even money. So bet 20, win 20. Love Xander to top 10 here. He's just too damn consistent not to. I'm kind of looping a few bets in together here. I got Taylor Moore top 40, Kirk top 40, Decky top 20, Zalatoris top 20. All looped together. Like all of those bets, you get Decky and Willie Z top 20s at plus money as well, which is very enticing to me. If you want to do a little crazy parlay, you certainly can. And then as we go back to the winners, I want to give you an outright here. My guy this week, Mr. Cameron Young, is sitting there at 25-1. I think that is a very solid bet. You know, throw some cash on it. You're getting 2.5 times what you bet. Or, sorry, 25 times what you bet. So put $5 down. You're winning 125. That ain't bad to me. I think that's where I'm going to stop it. I don't like a lot of long shots this week. I just think it's too difficult for their skill sets to get up towards the top. Maybe Decky at 35-1, but that's really about where I'm stopping.
Fair enough, man. I've written them down. Good luck to everybody this week, and we absolutely appreciate it. If it's not up already, it will be up soon. Adam's article at drrota.com giving his full insights and favorite, I don't know, what do you do, like 6 to 8 picks in there this week?
Yeah, this week it was 8 because it's a lot smaller field. Usually I'll do 9 or 10 with a full field with 150 plus players in the field, but with 69, nice number of players in the field, we only did 8.
Love it. And as always, if you're not a member, get in there in the Discord. You can ask Adam and I questions all week long, and we will answer you at the Discord at drrota.com. For Mr. Adam White, I am Johnny Danger, And we appreciate all of you and love you. We'll see you next week for like the players or something, some kind of mid-major. I don't know what it is.
The PGA Championship, yeah, bro.
I don't know what it is. You can tell. You can fill me in next week. I don't watch golf. Anyways, love you guys.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out drroto.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.